Moshe begins his farewell blessing to the tribes of Israel by blessing the tribe of Reuven, which of course makes sense. Reuven is the firstborn. Yechi Reuven, v'al yamos v'hi masav mispar. They should have life, they should be stature, they should do well. What's interesting is the continuation. The very next pasuk tells us which tribe gets blessed second. V'zos liYehuda, this to Yehuda. V'yomar, and he said, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda, v'elamo tivyanu. The voice of Yehuda and to his people, you shall bring him. Yadav ravlo, may his hands fight for him, v'ezer mitzarav tiyeh, and may you be a helper against his enemies. Everything about this pasuk perhaps needs explanation. First of all, each phrase is incredibly opaque and unclear what exactly it's referring to. Moreover, the introduction of the pasuk, v'zos liYehuda, seems to be a total non sequitur. And this to Yehuda, what? What to Yehuda? What's this? What's v'zos? What are we talking about? And then perhaps the biggest question of them all is, why is Yehuda being blessed now in the first place? Why is Yehuda the second tribe that gets blessed? We understand Reuven started, that's the Bechor. Reuven is the fourth son that's born to Yaakov. What happened to Shimon and Levi? They came first. Why did they get skipped? Why did he go from Reuven right to Yehuda? So in order to answer these questions, and I say these are very pshat, basic questions, but among the approaches that are offered is very much a drush, which is contained in the Medrash and the Sifrei here in our Parsha, and in a more extended form, which we will quote from as well, is the Gemara at Masechta Sota on Dav Zayin Amud Beis. And the discussion of Chazal starts with the assumption that both Yehuda and Reuven, these two aforementioned Shvatim, but the actual brothers themselves, Yehuda and Reuven, they both were Hode Velobosh. They both had the virtue of admitting publicly their mistake, and they weren't too embarrassed to admit that. So the Gemara continues, Chazal explain, we understand that Yehuda was willing to admit his mistake publicly. That's an explicit pasuk after his indiscretion with Tamar at the last possible moment in the climactic part of that story. Tamar hints at who was the person who committed the sin with her, and rather than just hiding in the shadows, Yehuda steps forward and admits that it was him, and he says in his famous words, Tzadka mimeni, she's more virtuous, she's more righteous, she's more correct than me. So we see that he admitted his mistake, he confessed publicly. But ask Chazal, where do we see that Reuven ever confessed? And what sin is that talking about? Of course, that's the sin of what Reuven did with Bilhah, with his mother's concubine after she passed away. It's not exactly clear what the sin was, but you know it was something evidently serious. But where do we see that he ever confessed in the way that we do see that Yehuda did? So Chazal explained as follows. All those years, the 40 years that Moshe and the Jewish people were wandering in the desert, among the things that they were carrying with them the entire time were the bodies of all of the Shvatim. Originally buried in Egypt, they had been disinterred, and they were being carried throughout the desert so they could be reburied, reinterred in Eretz Yisrael. We know the famous Psukim talk about Moshe going to get Yosef at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Chazal understand from this in a drush that it wasn't just the Atzmos Yosef, but in fact all of the Shvatim were disinterred and then carried throughout the 40 years in the desert to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Chazal continue and say there was a difference. All of the other Shvatim, miraculously, their bodies stayed intact to preserve their dignity, presumably. However, Yehuda, his bones were rattling around in the Aron, and you could hear that. And I guess that would be presumably a embarrassment, a bizayon for Yehuda. Why was Yehuda singled out for this embarrassment? So Chazal and Masechta Malkos tell us that when Yehuda accepted upon himself a ban, a tremendous punishment, Cherem, if Binyamin wouldn't be safe, when he's begging Yaakov to give him permission to bring Binyamin down to Egypt, and he promises all sorts of things, and in case not something happens to Binyamin, I'll be punished, etc. So Chazal tells us, even though in the end Binyamin was saved, Binyamin was protected and safely returned to Yaakov, nevertheless, Yehuda shouldn't have accepted such a ban upon himself, and therefore the residual impact of that ban was that he is punished by the fact that he did not have the miraculous body remaining intact like his brothers, and his bones were rattling around in a very embarrassing way. So say Chazal, now at this moment, Moshe Rabbeinu is praying to Hashem, please, why should Yehuda be embarrassed? After all, Yehuda may have made a mistake, but so did Reuven. And Reuven confessed to sin, but where do you think Reuven got it from? Says the Gemara, say Chazal, he learned from Yehuda. Mi garam l'Ruvain shahoda? He got it from Yehuda. When he saw Yehuda confessed, he was inspired to do the same thing himself. So, parenthetically, that's how we know that Ruvain had confessed, because that is brought in the Gemara as part of Moshe's argument, almost as kav chomer that Moshe is using to Hashem. It's not right to punish Yehuda if you've not punished in the same way Ruvain. Ruvain only learned the correct behavior from Yehuda. If Ruvain is taken care of, certainly then Yehuda should. And that's what the Gemara explains, that's what Chazal explained, that's how the pasuk begins. V'zos li Yehuda. If Yechi Ruvain, if Ruvain is being taken care of, v'zos li Yehuda, Moshe Rabbeinu asks rhetorically and in astonishment, this is the way you're letting Yehuda be embarrassed with his bones rattling around? How could it be? And Chazal explained that, in fact, Moshe's prayer was accepted. Now, this is more or less the end of the Medrash and Rashi, but it's worth noting in a little time that we have left that the Gemara actually goes further and explains every other phrase in the Pasuk as well along these lines. In an astonishing drush, the Gemara says, well, still, even though his bones then reconnected to their bodies, they weren't rattling around, but still Yehuda at that time was not accepted into the Masifta Derekiah, the heavenly base Medrash with all the great tzaddikim of all the generations. So Moshe davened, ve'el amo tivyenu, bring him back to his amo, to the other tzaddikim. And that was admitted, that was accepted. But he still didn't know how to debate halacha with the other tzaddikim. He wasn't on their level to do the pilpula of Torah with them. So Moshe davened, Yadav Ravlo, let him be able to fight in the Mechamta Shel Torah. And that was accepted. But one more thing still needed to be done, because Yehuda didn't know how to finally finish the job. He couldn't win in an argument. He couldn't actually get a psak like his opinion in the Masifta Derekiah. So Moshe davens one last time, Ve'ezer mitzarav tiyeh, enabling Yehuda to actually win all debates and have settle halacha like him. What an incredible medrash highlighting the power of Yehuda's admission and lack of embarrassment.